Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is it. The time has come.
Saturday night's all right for fighting.
The World Cup puts him down.
Get in the ring and go the distance with Fight Night with Adam Catterall and Gareth A. Davies.
You're better than that.
On Talk Sport.
Welcome to the Fight Night podcast from TalkSport. I'm Adam Catterall. Pleasure as always to be in your company. This is a little bit of extra special content because on Saturday night, whilst me and Gareth were sat in the studio, we had a special guest with us. It was the British light heavyweight champion, Dan Azeez. So, I know you want to hear from him, so let's get stuck into this conversation, shall we? Because Dan joined us to talk about his recent results and where he's going to next.
Win, lose or draw any of them. That's what I'm about, legacy. That's the whole reason why I wanted to win the Southern, the English, British. I want to, you know, be part of history.
Declaring your winner by TKO, and now the British light heavyweight champion and the Commonwealth light heavyweight champion, Super Dan Azeez.
You know what it is? It helps with my development, and a lot of people, they don't want to go down the quote-unquote traditional route because they're dangerous fights early on. Southern Area, I remember when I was coming up, I remember watching Southern Area fights and I was like, oh my gosh, can I even win a Southern Area? Because it will always be against guys who are prospects, young and hungry.
Yeah.
So these little title fights, they're very competitive, and not a lot of people want to go through that route, but it's very, very it was essential for my development. As like you mentioned, I'm next for the European, and it just builds on my confidence, and it helps me to get to that end goal. Like,
well, it's good grounding, as you've just said, because when we're lucky enough,
we knew you before you were famous. Right? That's what I
want to
say.
I'm not famous.
No, but you are
indeed, mate. Listen, when we are lucky enough to be at ringside to call fights here on TalkSport, yeah, we look at the schedule, and obviously there's a lot of belts in boxing,
yeah,
and you see certain things that pop, and you're thinking, I know that belt's nonsense. This fight is uncompetitive. Whenever I see an English title fight, whenever I see a Southern Area title fight, a British
title fight.
I know I'm going to get a good fight.
Exactly.
Because exactly what you just said there, it's all on the line for everybody that's in those types of fights. And therefore, that is good grounding for people that are coming through, doing the traditional route. Because then when the world title opportunity comes, you've done the apprenticeship.
You've done it
and you're ready to rock and roll.
Exactly. And starting from when I turned professional, my coach was always like, listen, we're going to go step by step, you know, go title by title, see where you are and then push on from there. So you just don't want to get to a level and then you're found wanting. Like, I don't ever want to fight for like a world title and then it's like, oh, it's fully had a little bit of experience. However long it takes for me to get there, when I'm there, I want to know I'm ready. Like, do you know what I mean?
You must be then in the back of your head now knowing full well that you're ready, because with all due respect, I know that Rocky Fielding, for example, your last opponent.
Yeah.
He's he's just retired off the back of that defeat to you.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that has been through those levels very similar to you. He was British Commonwealth European champion, obviously ended up getting a version of a world title, fought Canelo, all this type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So you kind of, in a way, when you fight someone like that and beat someone like that, even though he's at the twilight of his career, you kind of take a little bit of that with you.
For sure.
In the performance that you put in, and your performance that night against him was clinical to the point where his corner had to pull him out because it wasn't going anywhere for him.
No, 100%. Again, we're just going in. I feel like I'm going in the right direction. I feel like, you know, when I do hopefully fight for a world title, you know, I will belong and, you know, God willing, I'll get it.
It sounds really interesting when you bring these things up. And do you know who it brings to mind at the moment? Anthony Joshua.
Yeah.
Weirdly. Because he's been a victim of his own success. I think when he started at 18, he didn't know quite how far he was going to go. And I think his own success surprised him. This is my theory.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to get through and have these conversations with Anthony Joshua these days. But it seems like you are in it for loving what you're doing and let's see where we get to.
Yeah.
You're almost, I'm not saying you're not ambitious.
Yeah. No, for sure.
It's clearly there. No. But it's like, okay, so I'm here. And
when I look at Joshua,
am I a world champion now?
With that comparison, when I look at Joshua,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. But when I look at Joshua, I think the success maybe came just a touch too quick at the top level.
Oh no, totally. But a victim of his own success.
Whereas,
in that sense,
what you're doing is right. We're going to do British.
Yeah,
sorted British now. Yeah. Now we're going into Europeans, right? Yeah. And once that is conquered, there is nowhere else to go,
It has to
be world.
But if someone was saying to Dan, look, there's a world title available
next week,
and you end up defeating Beterbiev, let's say, and you've got three of the belts, you know?
It would be like, whoa.
That's what I mean. You don't know.
Oh, and a world title.
Exactly. But you beat a modern great.
You're right, because it's like when I've won all these little titles, like I said, the Southern Area, I was like, oh, I've won the Southern Area.
Yeah.
English, I'm a British champion. Commonwealth now, I get exactly
but
what
you've got the speed, you've got the power, you're a natural 175er, you don't have to cut much weight. Yeah. Do you?
No.
And you believe in yourself. And who knows? I mean, there could be a moment where your promoter says, "We've got the shot.
Yeah,
we've got the shot. He wants to fight you. He wants to come back to the UK, or he wants you to go over there."
Yeah,
those dreams are alive in fighters' minds.
I think,
and it's clearly alive in you.
Yeah.
You know, you're an unusual character. I don't want to say you don't have to do this because there's something in you that has to do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we know you've got your degree and, you know, you could have gone into sitting in an office.
Finance, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was working in an office for a bit but you just got that inner hunger or that dream that you know.
Your neuro tribe is a hunter, not a gatherer.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically. You know? It is, isn't it? Yeah. And you can't avoid it.
Yeah, that's a good comparison, yeah.
Oh, I think all of us in the fight world are, but whether we're fighters or not, or whether we're... Do you want my weird analogy about hunting the giant buffalo in the winter?
No, not right now, but we would have been doing that whether
we wanted to or not.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you would have wanted to go with the men when you were a boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there would have been a few women. I'm doing it now.
Stop it now.
I'm just getting excited.
I like the analogy. Leave it.
Carry on. But you know, you've been in that other place. So I love that I don't know how far I'm going to go. Because you do believe.
But let's see my mentality and, I'll just, God willing, we get there.
What drives you? Is there faith? Is it a baby that you've had driving you? What is it? Where does it come from?
What drives me is I would love when I'm, you know, not here no more and, you know, I'm deep gone and everything. Maybe someone 20 years down the line looks at my records like, oh, I like the way this guy come up. You know, he won this title back. Those are the things that drive me, you know, people remembering you when you're not gone, legacy, do you know what I mean? And I look back at fighters years ago and, you know, I'd look at like Hagler, everyone knows that's like my favourite fighter. Till this day, I always look back at his story and I take, how can I say it?
Did you ever meet him?
No, I didn't. And
I went to Morocco with him, you know.
Very upset to when he passed away. And I thought I was going to meet him, you know, but I didn't.
Even in his 50s, he was still a bear.
Yeah,
he had big forearms. I played basketball. You know this story.
I do know this story. Yeah.
I went to Morocco.
What was he like, man? Because he seemed very, like,
chill,
direct and just...
so chilled out. So chilled out. Yeah. But when you looked at him physically, even when he was 55 and I'd have been about 35, about 20 years ago I went to Morocco with him and Daley Thompson, and we played basketball in this women's project.
Okay.
Where, a lot of the girls are getting married in the countryside in Morocco. So we went to this Laureus World Sports Academy project, and he was one of the ambassadors for the Laureus World Sports Academy with Daley Thompson.
Yeah.
We played basketball against the girls, and they'd scratched his forearms, and he turned around, and he had a big, strong forearm.
Yeah.
And he said, under his forearms, and he went, no man ever scratched me like this. And then I brought up Sugar Ray Leonard, and he started growling. And I thought,
probably still bugged him.
Him, but he was... He just presence.
Yeah.
Presence, power. Someone respect.
When he steps in a room, could you just feel his...
Yeah, totally. And I get why he's a hero.
Yeah.
And you have that.
So
you have that.
This is what drives me, you know, that kind of, I want to be able to, when I'm gone and I'm no more here, you know, kids down the line, maybe when they're coming up, I can be an inspiration to them. And because when I come up, I was absolutely crap at boxing. Crap. So I want people to know, listen, as long as you stay focused, dedicated, you got a dream, you can do it. So yeah, man, that's what drives me, man.
Good work from Aziz. He's all over the place. Cartwright again, and Aziz continues to tell. He's got it. Referee can't see it. Now he stops it. Too late for Vida. Dan Aziz wins and keeps his unbeaten record intact.
Dan Aziz is a serious contender, and he doesn't mind going through everyone in the division. He's waited his turn, and he's now arrived. Have
mercy on my soul. There's a million and one stars out there, so it's absolutely crazy. There's guys there, and they've got records like they could be like 17-4, and you think, oh, like, who's this guy? You get in there with them, and you're like, wow. There's amateurs there that you spar, and you're like, oh my gosh, like, there's so much to learn. Like, that's definitely a next level. Like, if I be honest, and it's a great experience. I started camp with him earlier last year in LA. There was so much sparring there, lots of different styles. And then, yeah, just a month ago, I was in Orlando, and then, yeah, finishing off camp in Liverpool.
Do you mean with Puerto Ricans and Mexicans
and exactly
the black street fighting style, pushing the elbow around?
Exactly that,
And what are you adopting most out of those? Are you actually adding? Are you adding to
the 100%, man. Because I certain things that they do, you're like, Rocky, get away with that, like, and I think, all right, yeah, I'm taking that back with me, like, little nuances, little tricks, like, tricks of the trade, and do you know what I mean? And here in the UK, like, you might be sparring, as soon as you hold, like, break, like, you know, guys, everything needs to be nice and neat, like, if you got one arm free, keep working, do you know what I mean? If you're not headbutting or whatever, like, doing something too crazy, work it out, like, do you know what I mean? And you have to figure ways out, and it's like, wow, like, okay.
Plus, I've always found, like, when we've been lucky enough to go to various fights in America and then spend some time in some gyms, what I've always found is that there's a competitive level in there as well, because everybody's wanting the limelight. Everybody's signed to something. Everybody's looking for something.
Let me tell you something about that. See, like, here, if I go to a gym, they're like, yo, Dan Aziz is coming down, like, you know, everyone's like, oh, you know,
British champ, rocking.
Go to America, Dan Aziz, the British champs, undefeated. They're looking at you like, pray, like, okay, let's
your
see.
Your food, man.
Money, like, and it just gives you that mentality, like, you got to stay switched on and you got to earn their respect.
There's a reason. Let me just remind the listeners who we've got in the studio right now, okay? You're talking about, oh, you know, I'm getting here, European title, right? At the moment, with the WBC, the WBA, the IBF, and the WBO... You are ranked 5 with the WBC. You are ranked 2 with the WBA, in which Dimitri Bivol is the world champion. You are ranked number 9 in the IBF, and
a lot of money on sanction fees. I'll let
you know. Now that for me is someone who's not that far away from challenging for a world title.
Yeah,
and you're Buddy McGirt, as Adam mentioned, is
training Callum Smith, who's in your weight division. We know Callum Smith, he was the number one at super middleweight, the weight below 168 pounds, till he vacated after losing late the division to after losing to Saul Canelo Alvarez.
Yep.
And you're probably not more than three fights away from a world title, and that's early next year, isn't it? So
next 18 months, I think.
Next 18 months. So are you, you know, with all the modesty in the world that you have, and with all the, you're also with a very powerful promoter and a very powerful platform in box office, in Boxer and Sky box office. Mm-hmm. They have the power to bring the Bivols and the Better Bievs to this country. There's a lot of appetite for those fighters.
Yeah.
We could even have, I mean, it'd be amazing to have a Super Sixes tournament, wouldn't it, with all you guys?
It would. The way that I see this...
It's not far away.
No, it's not at all. And the way I see this, I don't know if you've obviously envisaged this.
Yeah.
As we've said, European title, great. Do that, that's a great level. Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
And then the next one...
Old school as well.
Yeah, of course. And then the next one after that is world title. If they can get this undisputed fight on at your in your division between Bivol and Beterbiev, then... there's going to be a situation that maybe those belts fragment or immediately, you know what the sanctioning bodies are like, immediately they are going to call for mandatory challenges.
Oh, for sure.
But you rank number two with the WBA. If you become European champion, that is quite likely going to be a number one situation. Mm-hmm. So you would be prime for at least the WBA shot first up.
That's why I'm in the gym. I got, like you said, I've got the European, but... you got to think ahead. Yes, exactly.
Be ready.
That.
So every it's not like,
just get ready for the European. No, it's them fights ahead.
You look ready.
Yeah, I just came back from
the
gym.
You've got that vibe. You've got that Marvin Hagler vibe. I told you when you walked in, you grabbed me, and you lifted me up, threw me across the room. I thought, my God, this guy is ready. But that's what the energy you've got.
Yeah.
You know? And you're happy with it.
No, for sure, man. For sure, that's the game, man. Do you know what I mean?
On the domestic scene, Dan.
Yeah.
Obviously, there'll always be chat.
Yep.
Of you, Boazzi, Yard, Craig Richards, Callum Smith, all these guys. That's the dream for us as fans, wanting to see you all guys have a bit of a dance with each other.
For sure, Lyndon Arthur as well.
Of course,
Craig Richards.
Yeah. Where do you? Yeah. Where's the in your? I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yeah.
Where's the biggest challenge, do you think, domestically for you out of those fighters?
I'll be honest with you. I think all of them are tough. And that's me not sitting on the fence. If I believe someone was way ahead, then I'd say so. But I genuinely think all of them are challenges. And I would love if, like you just mentioned it, a Super Six or something. Like everyone remembers, like, you know, Ben Eubank and
Collins Watson.
That's just free.
Yeah.
And we still remember that to that day, and we've probably forever remembered in British boxing in the whole world. Imagine we can get all those names you mentioned, and we just do like some sort of round robin.
Carl Froch and Andre Ward and Arthur Abraham and all those guys.
I can't believe they even got them all.
It was amazing. You know, Glenn Johnson was an alternate. I mean, it was an incredible. I covered the whole series.
Yeah.
I mean, I went there for the final for Carl Froch and Andre Ward in Atlantic City. I mean, we've got the power. 100%. There is the funding to have it actually stage it in the UK.
Definitely.
There's six of you out of eight of you potentially British.
From my point of view, it doesn't need a belt, but it's always nice just from a marketing point of view. If one of you could snap...
Even just for, like, as a boxer, it's an achievement. I was a world champion as well. But also, again, legacy, like, people always talk about the Super Six, and I don't even think there was as much characters in that as there are with the light heavies in Britain. I think that a lot of us are characters. You know, you got Boazzi there. You probably don't see him talk that much, but he's got character. Like, he just ain't brought it out. You got myself, you know, again, like, you got Craig Richards, another South Londoner. It would be really, really good, and I would love to be a part of that. I really would, like, do you know what I mean? That's legacy.
Let's remove, as you kind of mentioned, let's remove Bivol and Beterbiev for a moment and not have world titles involved.
Yeah.
I mean, I do hope they meet this year. I think it's a great fight. I hope it happens in the UK, by the way.
Why the UK?
Because
he's greedy. He wants to beat. Well,
they can go to Montreal. I mean, one's a Russian from
they're
from
both
Yerevan,
Russians, really.
And one's from Chechnya.
Yeah.
You know, they're one's mixed race, isn't he? Korean and Russian.
Bivol,
And one is a Chechenian, who's relocated to Montreal. I spoke to Bob Arum about this, actually spoke to him when he was here for the Beterbiev and Yard fight. I said, you could probably fill out the Wembley Arena or even the O2 Arena for those
two. They could do O2 Arena for that. I think boxing fans would come out for that.
We could have you against another one of those Brits on the undercard for titles. We could have the whole
card. Well, it'd be an eliminator, wouldn't it?
Exactly. But you could even have, like, actually, but I don't know if they would have the funds for that, like, all the other light heavyweights.
They
like,
might not.
One of us fight each other.
But
like,
how do
what
we
I mean?
Practically... That's the look, we said earlier on, I said earlier on, that there's questions to answer in boxing. How do we get those fights done? Because we haven't really, apart from Yard and Arthur, the two fights we had, a loss for Yard, and then he really recovered in the second fight. We haven't had all the guys meeting each other, have we?
The problem is, and you can speak this first, Dan, right?
Yeah.
I think every one of the fighters, yourself, Anthony Yard, all these lads, they're in.
Yeah.
They just want to have a fight.
No, for sure.
I'll fight
it's
him.
It's the broadcasters.
Of course.
You are
the shining star at the moment of Boxer Sky. Yeah. So therefore, they want you to fight on their platform.
Platform, for sure.
And then somebody else...
You've got Yard on BT. On BT.
Yeah, that's what they will want.
Yeah.
You know, we got Poatsy and Richards, didn't we? Which was
they're
good.
They're both with DAZN.
Yeah, they're both with DAZN.
But what you want is that for everybody to say, all listen, three of, we need to all come together in some way, shape or form to put this
for
on.
For sure.
Because boxing fans would be absolutely salivating at the opportunity that would be presented to you. And you would make a ton of cash.
Yeah.
And if they can chuck a world title in there as well...
Then it's even better. Yeah,
it's win a chicken.
Because you're not going to be around in 5 or 8 years' time doing this.
Nah, I don't think
another
so.
Another 3 years?
Another 3 years.
He'll be on a beach somewhere, man. Yeah. He'll be on a beach enjoying himself.
Doing finance on an iPad.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
with the biggest, most beautiful beach hut and family you can find.
That's the one, for sure.
Again, the body punches come through. Is this a roll of the dice and a right hand from Dan Aziz, who says, OK, I'll play this game too, and it's thunderous action.
I'm that guy, innit? This is why he says he's number one in Britain. That's it.
Like you're saying, like, you know, maybe it's technique or not, but nah.
He's got given power.
I'm 100%, definitely. Like I said to you, like, his trainer was saying when he was younger, like, there was, like, maybe some nuclear reaction from the mountains or something like that, and he believes that's why.
He's got a special power from
Marvel Comics. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah.
One of your old teammates, Lawrence Okorie, obviously at cruiserweight doing his thing, and we know that he's got a defence coming up very, very shortly. We saw him having a little bit of a tug and war.
A
little bit of handbags this week at the old movie premiere with Richard React. Paul, what did you make of all that?
I thought it was good promotion. I'll be honest with you. At Creed, do you know what I mean? It just builds, it's just a good way of building their fight, man. And you need that in boxing, man. Do you know what I mean? You need rivalry. You need a bit of animosity towards your opponent. Like, it's nice, being friends and being cordial with everyone, but some, you know, it gives it that little bit of edge when you generally don't like someone or you got it in for them. So I love it.
Seeds have been sown, haven't they, now? They've probably been sown from there for... I'd like to see them both have a world title before they step in there. I think a unification would make it a big fight.
Yeah.
I think it's a sellout O2.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It's a 20,000 crowd fight. And it's a terrific fight.
How impressed have you been with Lawrence's rise? Because obviously you guys had a little bit of a knock when you were amateurs.
Yeah, I fought Lawrence in the amateurs. I fought Richard in the amateurs as well. Like, imagine my short self fighting these six foot six guys. But yeah.
What was that? What weight division was that in then?
I think Richard was in the ABAs, novice ABAs, light heavy. So he was very skinny and tall, and Lawrence was at a catch weight, maybe 83, 84, like, so yeah.
And how did it go?
I fought Lawrence twice, lost to him on a split before and lost to him on a unanimous, and
he's
Richard
awkward,
as well.
Isn't he? He's
big, he's massive.
But he's awkward, isn't he?
Richard
was smash and grab in those days or not?
No, he wasn't, man. He was skillful, you know. And Richard, I lost to him on a split. But when I fought him, he was like the hardest person I'd ever been hit by. I got caught with him in a shot, like maybe second round. I said, Jesus, it was like being hit by a train. It's funny enough, he calls himself the Midnight Train. So yeah. Seriously.
But we are talking about boys that are now obviously bigger lads.
Exactly.
Than you.
Yeah. No, for sure. But yeah, I've sparred them afterwards and stuff. Like, so Yeah, I've been going back to your question. I'm very impressed with Lawrence's rise. When he was in the gym with me, he was just going through the ranks, like getting belts after belts, and that was something that motivated me. And I looked up to, I thought, yeah, he's doing brilliant.
And he was 320 pounds at one point.
Big boy.
Such a good story. Tell us a little bit about. I know a little bit about your story, but you know, when you were a kid, you clearly had athleticism.
Yeah,
what did you put it into at the time?
Football. Football. There was a point where I wanted to be a basketball player as well, but I was quite
point
short.
Guard, right in the middle of it all. Yeah,
you know what I mean? But I didn't realize how tall these guys were and whatnot. But yeah, football, athletics.
To doing things with it as well.
I joined local clubs and stuff like that. I was
schoolboys, champion, those kind of things.
Yeah, exactly.
National schools athletics.
No, not national schools. No, but. It was mainly football. I put it into football. I was.
Could you have done it in football?
Who knows? I don't know. I don't know. But I was good. I was
scoring goals.
I was a right back.
Were you?
Yeah, right back, defender, strong, fast, down the wing. Do you know what I mean? Help set up goals.
Engine.
And exactly.
Up and down. Yeah,
that's it. Exactly.
Wing back.
And you know, it's translated into the boxing. And everyone says, "Yeah, you're a machine. You're an engine."
Where did it change then to? You got into your studies, presumably, in your teenagers.
Yeah.
You didn't go anywhere where you shouldn't have been at the time?
Or? No, well, obviously, I brought up in South London, Lewisham. You're always going to be in the mix and, you know, but... From where I'm from, it's just a given. It's nothing special. It's just about whether you can, you know, divert from there and go down the positive route. And lucky for me, I did. Like, I got a bit of a brain on me, so I went to university... played football out there as well, but then joined a local boxing squad there, and then never looked back since then.
Do you have an awareness of wanting to give back as well as not looking back?
100%, definitely.
Do you do that?
I've got my management team, Connect Force. We involved in a lot of like charities and, like you said, giving back. And growing up, I always think like if we had a lot of my peers, if we had a positive role models, they could have been so much better in life. You know, it's literally everyone's got energy and got, you know, something they can do. But it's just about whether you can help direct them in that way, in a positive way. And I believe,
and you are that for some of them.
Exactly.
Which is amazing, isn't it?
Exactly. My local club in Kidbrook, I get the kids coming in all the time. Oh yeah, you know, I'm trying to get into boxing like how you did, and that makes me feel so like, oh wow, I'm, you know, motivating or driving.
Makes me feel emotional to hear.
You know,
it's fantastic.
Because I can see the negative side of where guys who've got potential and they've gone down the wrong road, and you're like, oh wow, man, if only, like, do you know what I mean? So the more people, it's very cliche to say, getting kids off the street.
It's not cliched, it's real.
But if you can do it, like, you don't know who you're saving, you know, you don't know who you're helping, you know, it's bigger than, like, just the actual person, like, do you know what I mean?
That's a legacy,
by the way.
That's a legacy to leave. That was the guy that changed my life who beat him to become a world champion.
Yeah, see?
So, he changed my life.
Yeah, so, like... yeah, man, it's just part of my legacy that
you
I
do
want to
have
give
a fantastic vibe. I know you're friend of the show, and we knew you before you were famous and all that kind of. We knew you before
it's
you
famous.
Were in the
it's no, famous no, stuff. I don't.
No, all right.
I don't know where he's getting
we
it from.
We knew you. You were in here before you were in all four world sanctioning bodies rankings in the top 10. No, am I wrong, Adam?
You're not wrong.
No. So, but you
but he was
doing
he was
it.
Famous then as well.
He was.
No,
so,
but
you have such a great energy about you. And you and that energy translates into the ring.
Yes, it
does. Translates
and
into
I'm
the
trying
ring.
To transfer it onto the next generation as well. Do you know what I mean? So,
happening.
That's it.
Listen, I want to get your thoughts on something before we clear off.
Yeah,
right?
Go on.
You can see on our back wall that we have got an advertisement for a fight that is going to be on TalkSport next
week.
Now, of course, we are not billing this as the World Cup final or the Champions League final. We are, of course, telling it how it is.
Yeah.
Two novice young guys in a battle against each other for bragging rights.
Yeah.
Do you see it like I've built it as quite a 50-50? Because I see two novices there. I don't see two elite lads. I don't see one ahead of the other. I see two novice fighters in Tommy Paul and Tommy Fury and Jake Paul. Do you see something similar?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, exactly like what you said. Two novices got big followings, and they're going to showcase whatever boxing skills they have in front of millions and going to get paid millions for it.
So. Why are we interested? Because we are. We'll all watch it, won't we?
Say I'm interested.
Well, I am.
Okay, and I'm not even knocking it. But
no, just tell the truth.
But just fascinated to know.
I'm not so interested, but I'm a little bit intrigued to see what's... Mainly because Tommy's from an actual boxing family.
Yeah.
So
yes.
I want to see... If he loses, then do you know what I mean? And whether Jake, who's come out of nowhere...
3 years in the
sport. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Whether he can put the Fury name to shame or whatnot. Because essentially, Fury's got... I think the pressure's on him.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, his big brother's like pound for pound, like the best. Like, do you know what I mean? He's from a real boxing family. So he can't let this guy beat him. Do you know what I mean? He can't let him...
When you look at this... Because obviously, the reason why this is happening...
Yeah.
Is because of their social media followings.
Yeah,
and the world changing.
Of course, the way that people are consuming content, all these types of things. But the reality is that they're appealing to an audience which might not necessarily be a boxing audience, but they're appealing to their audience, 5 million followers or whatever it is. Do you look at these guys and think there is something to learn from that? From an audience building
from promotion. 1,000,000%. Like you said, the world's changing. And it's what's the saying? Like, if you don't...
Evolve, then if you snooze, you lose.
But for me, I can't do like what they... Not that I can't, but I'm so focused
You're doing the talent.
Yes, and it's not easy. It's hard, you know what I mean? You can't take your eye off the ball. Like, I could go into that realm and like start doing all these...
But you're boxing and suffer.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I can't. So you need to have a big team around you. Unfortunately, this guy keeps saying I'm famous, but I'm not famous enough to have a big...
Shannon Briggs did it for a while, didn't he? And obviously he's a boxer.
But that was after. That was after he's... But it's prime, do you know what I mean?
I do agree with what you just said, though. There is something to learn promotionally from all of this.
Definitely.
We all need a following. Yes. Our boxers need a following.
I'm not ignorant to say, it doesn't matter. But no, I would love to be able to have, like, the YouTubes they have, like, provide my followers with content, because loads of people would love to know, what does Dan Aziz do day to day? Like, what's life like outside the box? But I just... Right now, and where I am right now, I take my eye off the ball. 1 second, it's done. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's not about that right now.
Yes, exactly.
You,
yeah, so that's where I am.
So there you have it. Expect a date coming soon for Dan Aziz to be back in the ring, hopefully challenging for that European title to add to his British and Commonwealth trinkets. There are plenty more offerings from TalkSport throughout the course of the week, especially on our YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe there and also subscribe to this podcast so therefore you never miss out on any of our audio boxing content. It's available on the TalkSport website and via Apple Tunes, if that's an actual thing that you can subscribe to. Go and get stuck into it. You're looking for Fight Night.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.